Today is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 4. You may be seated. Our hymnal provides an entire section of hymns under the title Hope and Comfort. If you look in your hymnals between 743 and 765, you're going to find some of the most well-loved and most well-known hymns that we sing in our church. Hymns like Jesus, Priceless Treasure, Amazing Grace, I'm But a Stranger Here, Rock of Ages, When Peace Like a River. All of these hymns are included in this Hope and Comfort section of the hymnal. But today's gospel reading got me thinking of one of the other hymns that's also included in that section. Be still, my soul. Whenever we sing that hymn, don't we sing it like we actually believe those words? Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. But do we really believe it? Be still, my soul. Really? Be still, my soul? Deep down, what you actually might be thinking is you don't actually know what's going on in my life. My life is a wreck. My finances are in shambles. My health is failing. Relationships are frayed. It seems like when I get one thing fixed, two or three more fall apart. And that's just the stuff that's going on within your own four walls. You look outside at the world that's all around you, and be still, my soul, might be the furthest thing from what you're actually thinking. You might be more likely to ask questions like these. Where's God in all of this? Is he actually watching over me? Does he really care? The sure and certain answer to all of those questions is yes. Even in the storms of your life, God does care. And he says to those storms, peace, be still. In preparation for World War II, the Ministry of Information in the United Kingdom, did you know that they had one of those? The Ministry of Information in the United Kingdom produced a motivational poster, and that poster was intended to raise the morale of the British public as they braced for the widely anticipated air attacks that were coming to many of their major cities. White words on a red background, urge citizens to keep calm and carry on. Of course, those attacks that were predicted, that they were awaiting, did happen. And even though 2.5 million of those posters were produced, they were very rarely displayed. And they were almost entirely forgotten until the year 2000. It was only then that the owner of a bookshop in England found a copy of that poster and he displayed it in his bookstore, and then there was a great deal of renewed interest. It's likely that you've seen that poster somewhere or other with a crown at the top and those white words on the red background, but you've probably also seen all sorts of variations of that phrase produced on posters and shirts and mugs and all sorts of other things. These last two decades has brought us all sorts of variations on keep calm and carry on. That sentiment, though, of keep calm and carry on, it was created for a people who were ready to weather a great storm. And perhaps that phrase is comforting for people today who are weathering their own storms. But it could also be a distilled version of what Jesus is saying to his disciples who were weathering that very real and that very terrible storm that day on the Sea of Galilee. Our gospel reading from Mark begins as Jesus finishes this day of teaching. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us get across to the other side." Of course, he's talking about getting across the Sea of Galilee, which Jesus and his disciples would go back and forth from one side to the other, doing all the things that they were doing in Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus was on a mission. And although they'd had a busy and a productive day of gathering followers and healing people and teaching, there's going to be more work to do tomorrow. There's always more work to do tomorrow, isn't there? Always something that didn't get done today that gets pushed off till the next day. And Jesus is telling his disciples in the midst of all of this activity, he's saying to them, be calm and carry on. There's more work to do in this mission that I'm on and that I have you on with me. And it's the same for you. You're going to have productive days of doing the Lord's work where you're going to feel completely fulfilled and satisfied by what God is doing through you. But then there are going to be those days when you wonder if you've actually even gotten a single thing accomplished for the Lord. Whichever it might be, God says to you, keep calm and carry on. And the great thing about that is that when you realize that it's his work that's being done, we can recognize that we're not responsible for the result of that work. As long as we faithfully and diligently do the work that he sets before us, he can then be concerned about the harvest, to use a metaphor from the parable that we heard last week. So like those disciples, get in the boat and head for the other side. Do the thing that God has called you to do. Do what Jesus is telling you is his mission. And he'll direct the outcome. As those disciples are out there on that sea, attempting to get to the other side, we know what happens. The text tells us a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. We've certainly seen some storms lately, haven't we? You guys get caught in that one last night? Oh my goodness, that rain came down and the thunder and the lightning. What a storm. But there's nothing like a kind of storm that the disciples were in. A storm when you're out on the sea is very much different than a storm when you're on the land. It might not be that much more powerful, but it can be that much more deadly. It's a whole lot different when you're on land, where you're likely to be able to find somewhere to find shelter. But on the sea, there's absolutely nowhere to go. When your storms arise, and it seems like there's nowhere for you to go for shelter, and your boat is filling more quickly than you can bail it out, what sort of reaction do you have? Is it a reaction of panic or distress? When there's still a month left at the end of the money, does it cause you great despair? When that unexpected hospital visit for you or maybe one of your family members throws your world into turmoil, does it seem like there's no hope? When the baby is screaming in the middle of the night for the 10th day in a row, Are you ready to just jump overboard? Rebecca and Peter, I'm sorry, that's not actually going to happen. I'm sorry, that you have the perfect baby there in Irwin. But I have heard that there are other children who do scream in the middle of the night. Don't jump overboard. How you respond to the storms of this fallen world says a lot about where you put your trust. The disciples in this account were not at first a great example of putting their trust in the one who could save them from this terrible storm. They allowed their fear to dictate their response, even accusing their very Lord and Savior of not caring about them. Listen to what the text says. Jesus was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Imagine having the calm of the one who always knows what the outcome is going to be, who knows that everything is ultimately going to be okay, the one who knows that at the sound of his voice, the wind and the waves will obey him. That's the kind of calm that can allow somebody to sleep through the storm on the cushion in the boat. We endure a lot of sleepless nights, worrying about what we're going to do to solve all of our problems, instead of handing them over to the one who can make them go away in an instant. Which is exactly what Jesus does. He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. One of the variations on that "keep calm and carry on" poster is "keep calm and fear not." We fear because we don't fully trust that the Lord is in control. Which is what Jesus says in his response to the disciples. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, he might not calm your storm immediately, but it's certainly not because he doesn't care. And how is it that we're going to know what God is willing to do for us if we're not willing to ask? One of the hallmarks of faith is the assurance that whatever the outcome might be, we know that God is on our side. God, who controls the wind and the waves. God, who has the ability to calm all of our fears. God, who steps right into our boat in the midst of the storm and offers the peace and the stillness that we all long for. This is the God of all creation, who commands that his creation would obey him. This is the God who, through the power of baptismal waters and his word, welcomed Irwin into his family this morning. This is the God who gave his very body and blood to still the storm of sin and death, and now offers it to us for our forgiveness. Have faith in him. Have faith in all that he's already done for you and all that he desires to do for you in the future. Some might think that the end of this account is proof that the disciples still don't know who Jesus is, because it tells us that they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" I don't think, though, that doubting the disciples' faith is the proper way for us to interpret this verse. It's like Luther says, we should fear, love, and trust in God. Proper fear is actually just simply a recognition of who God is, and what he has done and what he will continue to do for his people. The disciples had this proper fear of the one who caused the wind and the sea to obey him. The one who at his very voice handles all of their problems. He's the one who's there for you too. Now there certainly might be times when you feel like he's asleep in your boat. Times when you'd like to say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? At all times, even those, he's ready to speak to your storms, to calm your raging seas, to say, peace, be still. I think my favorite variation on that keep calm and carry on phrase is the one that says, keep calm and let God handle it. It's not always easy for us to pass that task on to him, but whatever it might be, he's ready to take it on. And he's far more capable than we are to handle anything that might come our way. So keep calm and let God handle it. And when he does, you'll be able to sing out without reservation, be still my soul, because you'll know that the Lord is truly on your side. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.